Hey guys, you're listening to the She Dares podcast. I'm Mel Cheng. I started She Dares 2 years ago, and it's a community for women who have a daring mindset or who want to break out of their comfort zone a little bit more. We encourage you to come and do virtual and physical events with us, learn from each other, and essentially just be inspired by others through their stories so that you can push yourself and just keep learning and just keep growing. Because sometimes we get a little stagnant in the world, you know, we're working our 9-to-5 jobs, we have families, it's really difficult sometimes to really excite yourself and to get new hobbies, new skills. That's really why I created it. Each episode of the podcast, we will be inviting a new guest on from different walks of life. They are friends of mine, friends of friends who have incredible stories. It's real women that have pushed themselves in their lives and have created the life for themselves, but through daring moments where they've really pushed themselves out of their comfort zones. And I really want all the listeners to be inspired by that. And every single week, you will hear me getting a dare from the guest or from the listener. And that's me being pushed out of my comfort zone. So hopefully you'll feel motivated to also join me in that. Okay, so our first guest is Claire Murphy. I am super excited to have her on the show. She is one of my oldest friends. We've known each other for a good 20 years. Actually, found each other or met each other through music. We were at a gig, and now she's been working in the music industry since, I guess 15 years. She is a guitar tech, but she's done a range of different roles. She was also a tour manager for many years. We lived in London close by each other, and now she's moved to California and she's touring the world with Vance Joy, but also other bands, all of the bigger festivals, Coachella, Glastonbury, you name it, she's been there and she's been around the world, I think, probably about 4 times. So an incredible story. She's in the waiting room right now. Let's get her on the show. Claire, how are you doing? It's been a long time.
Hi, Mel. It's been a long time. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good, thanks. Austria is slowly warming up. Thank goodness. The snow's still on the mountains, but it's looking good. How's Cali?
California is very warm and toasty. We've had about 30 degrees this week. It's beautiful. But yes, I miss hanging out with you. It's been so long. So it's good to see you and chat to you.
It has. It has indeed. I'd love to come and see you at some point.
Please do.
So Claire, can you tell me about a time when you broke out of your comfort zone?
I can think of 2 moments in my life where I kind of took a leap of faith. One of them was when I moved out of one of the places that I was renting in London that was a spectacular place on the Thames. And I gave it up and moved to a shoebox of a room in a shared apartment so that I could pursue, you know, my dream career. You read when people say things like that and you think, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. But it was one of the hardest things I've done because, you know, I was cruising through life, making a steady income, nice apartment that I was sharing. But, you know, and then I decided I want to go down this other path to do this. I'm going to have to cut my expenses in half and I'm going to have to move into something that makes me feel uncomfortable. You know, I'm going to have to live in a smaller space, in, you know, further outside of where I was used to living, just so that I could, you know, pursue my dream of you know, a career in music, because I had to be able to live on next to nothing so I could pick up some shifts at a music studio. And the second time was when I decided to move from London to California, you know, which is huge. You know, I had a business, I had my flat, yeah. And I just, you know, I always wanted to move to California or, you know, LA. And I had the opportunity because I had a visa with one of the bands I was working with. And again, it's like, okay, so, you know, that sounds pretty easy. Just go do it. But it's, you know, it's not when you actually sit down and think of the logistics of packing up your apartment and you close down your business, because I had premises. where do you live? Do you, you know, you have to get a social security number, you have to get a bank account. How do you get a bank account if you're not actually a resident, blah, blah, blah. All of these logistical nightmares and administrative nightmares that you don't know about and you can read on forums, but until you actually go and do it, looking back, it's actually, it was just easier to go and make the jump and just do it instead of, you know, sitting, reading lots, just go do it. And that was huge for me to just decide, okay, I'm going to go do this, because, you know, that was massive and I'm still here now. So it's great. But yeah, they took some courage.
What do you think actually made you make that change from sitting there kind of learning about all or looking at all of the logistics of moving to California and then just deciding, actually, I've just got to go?
A situation presented itself where I had a friend through you, actually. It was one of your parties or whatever in, it happened to be in Palm Springs. It sounds so glamorous.
Yeah.
And I, this is important, you speak into existence what you want to do in life. And I met one of your friends and we went on a hike and I said, I want to move to California. I want to move to LA. And she said, oh, well, I have an apartment with a spare room. It's being renovated, but when it's ready, let's keep in touch and you can rent it. And at the time it's like, okay, that sounds great. Go back to London, back to your life and, you know, whatever. But it was in the back of my mind. And I was like, could this actually work? This is the one catalyst right here that makes it easy for me to get over there. Just go over there. Just go over. And when I was thinking about it, I was like, just go over for like a year, you know, and that one moment of here is the opportunity to live somewhere. And I didn't even think like it might be difficult to find somewhere to live because, you know, they need references or whatever. I hadn't even got that far to thinking about moving. But I told people what I wanted to do. And that opportunity came out of that. And then I just kind of jumped on it and didn't give myself these stressful expectations of, well, I'm going to move forever to California. How do I do that? It was like, I'll go for a year or I'll just go and I can come back. I'll find someone to rent my flat for a year. I can come back if it doesn't work. I still have my business. I can come back if it doesn't work. I still have my bands and my clients. And I did, for the first 6 months, I was flying back and forth, still doing some tours in the UK to keep my hand in. I think we have these goals and it's like so big, but if you just, you know, boil it down to one thing of like, how do I get over there? Do I have the money for a flight? Okay. Where am I going to stay? Okay. You'll figure everything else out.
I love exactly, you know, what you said. It's about going out and speaking or telling people what you're doing or what you want to do, because that's when like these serendipitous things happen.
You don't know who you're standing next to in a cafe or who your friend is. Then you happen to say, oh, I'm looking to be a trader, or I am looking to be a musician, or whatever it is you're trying to do. I want to run a bike park. You have no idea who is out there doing what. We all judge everybody thinking, oh, that person must be doing that job because they're in a suit, or that person must be doing that. So the more that you talk about what you want to do, you start believing it as well. And then other people will be like, oh, I know somebody who can help you out.
When you started in music, I think it was the first job that you got with Terminal. It was only because I moved close by.
Yeah, it's because I was going on and on about wanting to work in music and go on tour, and you happened to see a tour bus opposite where you lived.
Yeah.
And it literally, that was the turning point, really, because, you know, you found out that there was a studio right there. I literally remember sitting at my computer at my admin job and messaging you, and you were saying, do you want me to go over and find out what the place is? I was like, oh, yeah, totally. And you just went. And then you came back like an hour later and said, oh, this is the name of the place, Terminal Studios. Yeah, just go in and see them.
Then you got a job. Then the contacts came.
Yeah, I mean, it's all snowballed from there. Yeah, really crazy to think about that.
Yeah.
Just takes one thing, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. We all kind of, I think, when growing up, dream of this, I don't know, life where things just happen because, I don't know, you try and plan out your life, what you're going to do and how it's going to go. And then you try and educate yourself, or this is how I did it anyway. And it's quite similar to what you were saying about moving to California. You know, you were really trying to figure out the best way to do something logistically. And how it actually happens is you fall into stuff, or you yeah. or you meet someone and they meet someone else. And this is really a big part of kind of She Dares as well. You know, this is why kind of we exist, to network through these moments and to connect people and to learn from each other as well, because you just don't know when these opportunities are going to come out.
And we all kind of know what we want to do. We just either don't think that it's possible, or we just like bury it. Because I talked about moving to LA for years and years and years. I didn't think it was possible. You know, getting a visa for the US is one of the hardest visas to get. But once I found out that there was an avenue, well, then I went at it like crazy. I bugged that band so much. I was like, I will do whatever it takes for you to take me to the US. And I just wanted to go and tour the US. And then when I found out you could actually live here on the visa, that was it. Game over. For years, I've always wanted to be like a runner and to like be a fit person. Now, we've known each other for like 20 or more than 20 years. We've been through phases in our life where we are not runners or anything like that. You know, for that just took saying it and talking to people about it and asking some questions. And it doesn't happen like instantly, because it's all these things we want to do that we find hard are overwhelming. I remember the first triathlon we did together. I was scared shitless for like months.
Absolutely.
Months and months and months.
I mean, I don't even remember whose idea it was.
Probably yours.
Probably.
Every yeah. bad idea I've ever like been a part of has started with you. That turns into a good idea. But I was so scared about doing that, you know? And then you do it and it was still, you know, very hard. And then I did that, and then, you know, you move on to a longer triathlon, and then you do an Ironman, and they're all scary at the time until you've done them.
1 second, you do an Ironman.
Well, yes, but we will do an Ironman at some point. It's because we live further away, I can't peer pressure you as much.
It's amazing what we can push each other to do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that very first triathlon like was beyond me. I remember one of your friends, Aaron, talking to us about triathlons. He was like, you can do it. You guys can do it. I was like, I can't do a triathlon. What are you talking about? I can't run. Cycling, I could cycle, but yeah. not even like competitively or quickly. It was just like, I like to cycle. And, you know, we still can't swim. But it doesn't matter, because you just, you know, we're not competing. We're just doing it for fun. But we can push ourselves so much. And you just have to just start bringing it out. Whatever it is that you want to do, just start talking about it, asking some questions. Surround yourself with the people who are doing it.
Totally.
But all of these things that have been the hardest things to do are the things that I remember in life. I'm like, what's the greatest things that I've done? When we rode our bikes, our BMXs to Brian, our triathlon, you know, when neither of us can swim properly. Like, all of these things. And it didn't stop us. We just went and did it.
I think that community feel also helped with that. So I don't think, I mean, for me especially, I don't think I would have done that without the support of you, you know, or without the camaraderie, because I, you know, we needed each other to push through those moments.
Yeah, camaraderie and accountability. If I'm doing it, you're doing it.
Definitely.
And vice versa.
Can you think of any moments where you were like, especially with the move to California, were you like, no, this is the wrong decision, this is not for me?
Actually, no, not at all with that one. I don't remember any doubts. I remember being overwhelmed a lot, because moving your entire apartment into like 5 boxes, you know, it took me months to pack everything down, get rid of everything, sell stuff, give stuff away. It was overwhelming, but never... it was always exciting. And my very first mm-hmm. tour that I'd been trying to get, I knew it was happening, and I had like 4 months to lead up to it. And I was just, you know, again, scared, because I didn't know what I was doing, but it was exciting the whole time. So there was never any point where I was like, I don't want to do this. I don't think this is right. I think, you know, I'm a big believer in going with your gut.
Was there any negative kind of influences? Maybe telling you it's not the best idea, or are you really sure that that's what you want to do?
Yeah, I mean, any time you go on the internet and search for something, it'll tell you things that will get in your head. And, you know, oh, it's really difficult to get a social security number. Oh, you can't do this and that in the US if you're not a citizen, or blah, blah, blah. Music is the hardest thing to get into. Like, oh, well, I mean, I was at breaking point with you at one point where, you know, you talked me into staying on my path to music, because it's super difficult to do these things that you really want. If it's easy, anyone can do it, right? So anything that you want to do that's worth it, it's going to be difficult. But knowing that it was right, I literally cannot think of a moment where I was like, I'm not going to do well, apart from the time when I did have a meltdown with you. But
you want to talk a bit more about the meltdown?
Well, you know, when you're just trying and trying and trying to break into the, you know, the thing that you want to do, the career that you want to do, and there's just no way in. And when I was trying to get into it, there wasn't really any resources on the internet. There wasn't really any way to like find people who were doing what I wanted to do, which was like go on tour with a band. And so if at some point you do just think, is it worth it? You know, is it worth the struggle? Because I also had I was keen on going down the route of practicing law, which is a completely random. But I liked law. I studied it in school. And I was saving up to go and do a bar conversion course whilst I was working in a guitar shop. And I was like, is this it? Is this my life, working in a guitar shop? I can't do this forever. You know, it's like, I'm going to be broke. You don't really have a career for 30 years in a guitar shop. And I was just like, oh, well, that's it. I'm just going to give up. And I remember you came into the guitar shop, you sat me down, you were like, you are not giving up. You are not giving up on this. You keep going with music. Keep going. It's important to you. It's all I've ever known you do. I think you said that. I think I remember you saying that. It's all I've ever known you do. It's music.
All I've ever known you do, but all that you've ever talked about. I've never heard you talk about law, even though you went and studied it.
Yeah.
You weren't particularly excited about it. And I could never imagine you being a lawyer. But
I mean, I still think, you know, I could, but would I be fulfilled? Probably not. And how many people are fulfilled in their lives? That's the point, you know? And it was that conversation. Mm-hmm. I always say it's that conversation that was another turning point where I was like, okay, look, someone believes in me. Someone believes that I can do this. I just have to keep going. So I guess when I'm talking about this, it sounds like it was all roses and, you know, if you just keep believing it, it's fine. It's not. It's hard. It's really hard. And, you know, still, I'm in California now. I've been touring the world, been around the world like multiple times. And I'm still sat here now in the middle of pandemic, broken, unemployed. And I'm like, what am I doing with my life? What am I doing? And then every day I go outside and I'm like, I mean, look at this beautiful setting that I'm in. It's sunny every day. This is why I moved here. This is why I struggled, you know, down that path. The older you get, the more peace you have that it'll just be fine. Like something is going to happen. You learn to just realize that what you actually need is a lot less than you think you need. So you know, over the past 18 months that I haven't been working, you just like live more simple. You know, I'm living in a studio apartment. You know, I have like no income, so I'm just not buying anything. Like, I don't need anything. I'm happy with what I've got. I'm happy to just be living in California. I can't really complain because I can just go surf if I want. And, you know, it's, like I say, always sunny and it'll come back. But it is hard though. It's ups and downs. Nobody is like living their best life all of the time. And if they are, I want to meet them. Or you get them on the podcast because I want to hear that.
A couple of years ago, you wrote a book, which was, something that not surprised me, but was a really great challenge that you just took on. And I mean, it happened so quickly, actually. What made you decide to do that?
On tour, I have girls come and shadow me for the day to see what it's like to tour, because I'm trying to get more women into music and into touring. And they would always ask the same questions. And I thought, well, I should just put my experience just into a little, you call it a book, I call it like an ebook, like a how-to guide, you know. When you say a book, to me, it's like some romantic, you know, romantic thriller or something.
It's a romantic novel.
A novel, yeah. Didn't write a novel. I remember I was waiting for soundcheck to start, and I just started writing like the outline of all the like subjects I wanted to talk about. And then I'd leave it for a couple of weeks. And then it was actually on a flight from Australia back to LA. I pretty much wrote the bones of the whole thing because it's like a 15-hour flight. So it actually didn't take that long. But then, you know, I had to edit it and, you know, fill it out a bit more. So, I guess it came out of nowhere. But in my mind, it had been in my mind for quite a while. And it wasn't like I'm going to write a book. It's like I just want to write like a guide for people because I didn't have that. And if I'd had that, at least would have been a little bit more help. And, you know, it says in there, like, what people are paid and all these things that you don't talk about. Like, what happens on the tour bus? Like, what's the inside of a tour bus look like? All these things that, you know, when I first got on a tour bus, it was when I had a gig. It's like, you shouldn't have to wait that long to find out what the inside of a tour bus looks like. So, yeah, I just wanted to pass on the knowledge, really.
All right, so every episode, the guest is going to give me a dare, or a listener can send in to our Instagram, which is _shedares. The reason for this is because I want to continually push us as a community to step out of our comfort zones. And this is not just to be going and doing something silly every single day or dangerous. That's far from it. But it's just to get a feeling that stepping out of your comfort zone is actually quite fun and actually quite liberating, and it transforms into the rest of our lives. So one day, if I go out in a silly costume and I run around the park and people ask me what I'm doing and I have the courage to go and tell them, that could completely transform into me in a meeting room feeling a little bit out of my comfort zone, trying to give a presentation, and someone asks me about something. And that's the mentality that I want to provide our listeners, but also for myself as well. And it's a fun element to do every couple of weeks or so. So, Claire, what will my dare be?
I dare you to go fully vegan for either the weekend or the week,
okay.
whatever you decide to do.
Okay.
It's something I've been, you know, I changed my diet recently, or, you know, for the past few years. And I know we've talked about it a lot. I will be interested to see how you get on. I have full faith.
Should I document that?
I think so. Yeah, I think there should be stories of your shopping trip, your meal cooking, your eating it.
I mean, just for the listeners, I am a terrible cook, and my place is not in the kitchen other than cleaning up. I can clean up pretty well. And I'm very much a carnivore. I do love my steaks. So this will be a challenge.
Yeah. And I want to know how you feel at the end of it.
All right. Done.
Good luck.
Claire, thank you so much for being on the show. It was amazing to talk to you. I mean, you're one of my closest friends, so it's pretty easy having a good chat about the past. Where can people find you online?
I'm trying to hide offline at the moment, you know, getting my zen on in California. But I am still present, and I do check in secretly every now and again. It's at Claire Trash Tours, CLAIRE Trash Tours on Instagram.
Where can girls find your book?
It's on Amazon as an ebook. You can download it for the Kindle, or you can order a paperback. You just search Girl on the Road, Claire Murphy.
Great.
Thank you, Mel. It was a pleasure.
Always. Okay, it's day one breakfast, and it's going to be not too bad because I have these like Pops and Flakes cereal, and I never really drink proper milk anyway, so I have rice milk. So it's going to be quite good. Dinner has just arrived. My awesome neighbour has come round with a eggplant ragu and rice with coriander. How amazing is that? So I'm just about to dig in. That tastes pretty awesome. Thanks, Eva. This is day two. We just did a little get up, get out thing at Fischelsee Lake. And now we're just having breakfast. And my friend just went to find something in the local town. And it was the smallest supermarket ever. So what we've ended up with is cucumber, tomato, hummus, and some bread. So this is our breakfast. It's about an hour after the breakfast by the lake that I just had, and I'm starving, so I just snacked on a few chips, and now I'm going to have a banana. Oh, I can't open it. Oh, there you go. I mean, I feel like I'm snacking a lot more, but I guess somewhat healthier snacks, so not too bad. Oh my god, so it's day three and I really fancied on my walk Nutella with like toast and banana, and I've come back and obviously clearly Nutella is not vegan. So then I was like, oh honey, of course honey is not vegan. Then I was like, jam, checked my fridge for jam, and no, there's gelatin in jam. So I'm like, I've got Vegemite, which I think is vegan, but then I've got this really horrible whole wheat bread, and I think that would just be like eating cardboard. So I've got a very sad looking cut up banana on my plate, and I'm starving. Making vegan cheese for the first time in my life. Just finished the vegan cheese, put it on the pizza and had it. It's supposed to be like a mozzarella. I mean, it's definitely not a mozzarella. It's not creamy. It's not, I guess it tastes a bit like cheese, but nothing like mozzarella. So it was okay, but it was a lot of effort. And you see how many nuts go in it and wow, the amount of calories, but I'm not against it. Not sure I'd do it immediately again. So I'm in the supermarket. I've been absolutely craving chocolate, so I've now just bought myself 3 bars of vegan chocolate. Thank God, at least they have that here. This is day 4 or 5. I don't know, I'm losing count when this is over. Oh, well, it's pissing down with rain outside. Just been biking in Leogang Bike Park and I'm absolutely starving. So the only place that's open is a pizza place. I said, do you have any vegan options? And I thought how ridiculous my request was, a vegan pizza. So here it is. Wow, that looks really dry. It's bread with tomato sauce, some rucola and rucola, which is rocket, and mushrooms. Hmm, actually, it's not terrible. Okay, I mean, the more I'm eating it, the more I'm realising it is quite shit. So it's the last day. I have survived. It hasn't been as bad as I thought. I mean, all the food was edible and I didn't miss anything so much apart from, I think, Nutella and the cheese. Nutella is a bit of a bad habit that I have, but you know, overall, it went fine, and I think I could do it again. On the positive note, I lost 1.3 kilos, which is definitely a bonus, and it does make me think twice about eating so much crap. So, yeah, thanks, Claire. So, first air is done and dusted. I really wonder what else I have in store this series. I kind of feel like I might be beginning to regret this, but it shouldn't be dangerous and it shouldn't be offensive to others. It should just be moving us all forward and everyone is welcome to take part alongside me. That would actually be super encouraging. If you would love to give me a dare, then please do get in touch with us on Instagram. You can follow us on _shedares. Get in touch with us and let us know what you'd like to dare me to do.